Tonight, we invite you to hear his story. And I've asked Tim to help me to tell his story as it has been told to us down through the millennia, through the words of the gospel, according to Matthew. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Hear these words. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money. After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the pieces of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you say so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many accusations they make against you? But he gave them no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed.
Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? All of them said, let him be crucified. Then he asked, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified.
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Then the people as a whole answered, His blood be on us and on our children. So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole court around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right hand and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their hands, saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. If he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way.
From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And then Jesus cried with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were also there looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the son of Zebedee.
When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb.
The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. From Monday, Thursday, Jesus taught us the Savior's way. He taught us that the way of the Savior was the way of service. The way of the Savior, as he took the towel and basin and washed and dried his disciples' feet, was to become as low as he could. Jesus taught us that the way of the Savior was service and love. The last picture that we get of Jesus from Monday, Thursday, is in the Garden of Gethsemane, the place where Jesus prayed, the place where he spoke with his Father, the place where he bidded those representing us, the disciples, to stay awake with him just for a little while. There in the garden, he talked to his Father and he traded his servant's tile for a decision to surrender himself on a mission to save the world. There he taught us the importance of staying close to the Heavenly Father, the importance of staying alert when one is under attack by one's enemy. But most of all, he taught us in the Garden of Gethsemane the importance of bending our will to fit into the will of the Heavenly Father. And after he had prayed, and after he had cried, and after he had sweat what seemed to be drops of blood, he turned to be in conversation one more time with those who were closest to him. Peter and John were there. As the agitators came, the mob came, and with a kiss, you know, that kiss that men were accustomed to greeting their friends with the kiss on the cheek, identifying him not just as any follower in the way, but as the rabbi, the teacher, as the one being followed. With a kiss, he was identified as the one who the religious elite sought. With a kiss, Jesus refused to fight back. He made no attempt to escape as he heard the accusation swirling about him. He went peacefully with his captors as they continued to frame accusation after accusation. And I hope you were listening when the Bible said Judas, we often wonder what happens to Judas, but the Bible is clear. Judas repented. Judas became sorry for the wrong that he had done. He scurries off and he tries to make it right, but he can't make it right. Oh, I wished he had stayed around a little while longer, but in his disappointment, in his despair, in his brokenness, Judas didn't stay around long enough. He went out and ended his life. Because he had betrayed his friend. And all night long, they were jostling with Jesus. They were asking him questions and they were questioning his authority. And by morning, the greatest part of the passion had begun. By morning, they had began his trial. The first trial was just before Ananias, who was one of the chief priests, who was questioning Jesus as the Messiah and as the Son of God. Jesus did not respond to Ananias. Ananias held on to him long enough for the Sanhedrin court to be assembled. And when the court was assembled somewhere around between 6 and 7 o'clock, they began to accuse Jesus of being a blasphemer. After all, they were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the keepers of religious law, and they saw him as a blasphemer, one denying the authority of God. And after they had spent time abusing him and condemning him and ridiculing them and convincing themselves that they had enough evidence to take him to Pontius Pilate, after they had abused him, they sent him to Pontius Pilate. The gospel records, if you read all four of them, that somewhere between the hours of 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the judgment hall, they simply took Jesus from judgment hall to judgment hall to judgment hall to judgment hall. There are 6 trials recorded of this time period from 6 a.m. to 8 o'clock when he is finally, after even Pilate's wife pleads on behalf of the blood of this innocent man. Even after Pilate himself as the governor could find no fault in him. Isn't it awesome when the world beyond the holy people of God can find no fault in Jesus? They'll take Jesus and leave his people behind. Pilate said, I can find no fault in this guy. But by then, they'd taken on a mob mentality, and the mob began to cry that Barabbas should be the one who was a notorious criminal. He should be the one who would be set free. So it is Jesus who was handed over to the soldiers. It is Jesus who is found, the innocent man with the innocent blood, is found to be guilty. And they mocked him. They take him, strip him of his own clothes, put on the clothes of royalty. All hail, King of the Jews. They make fun of him. They spit on him. They try to justify their hate toward him. And then they take off the royal garment, put his clothes on him. Pilate has ordered that he would be flogged. The flogging had to be public. And as he was flogged, there were no hosannas. The hosannas had all grown silent. The crowd stood around as they tormented him, crowned his head with thorns, put a heavy cross on his back, whipped him through the streets of the holy city, led him out to the hill of the skull, the place that we call Calvary. They led him out there and hung him up between two thieves. And while Jesus was hanging on the cross, I want you to know that they nailed his hands to the cross. They nailed his feet to the cross. They pierced him in his side while he hung on the cross. And while he was going through all of this, and they were tormenting him and offering him vinegar, while he hung on the cross between two thieves in what had to be humanly impossible pain to endure, while he was hanging on the cross, Jesus took the time to forgive his assailants. While he was hanging on the cross, Jesus took the time to secure a place in paradise for a thief. While he was hanging on the cross, Jesus took the time to look down in his pain and see his mother weeping there. While he was hanging on the cross in all of this pain, Jesus took the time to say, "Mama, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. Hey, John, you're my beloved. You take care of my mama." While he was hanging on the cross in his pain, Jesus took the time to take care of his mother. And the Bible tells us after he had done all of that, after he had taken care of Mary, they tell us that the sky above went black. After he had taken care of Mama, the sky turned black. And when the sky turned black, Jesus began to cry out. That's when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And if you don't know the rest of the story, it would appear to us that Jesus had separated himself between him and the Heavenly Father because he was taking on the sins of the world. And God knows no sin. But Jesus, in that moment, in the midst of his pain, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But the story doesn't end there on Good Friday. As he hung there on Good Friday, the sky is dark from noon to three. And then Jesus uses those words that rang so true to us. He says, "It is finished. It is finished." What was he talking about? It is finished. It, that thing that stood between humanity and God through the centuries and the ages, it was finished. The sin that kept us away from reaching up to our Heavenly Father and stood between our Heavenly Father reaching down to us, it was finished. The distance that it takes from a sinner to become a saint, it was closed. It was finished. Ah, but that wasn't the end of the story. The end of the story on the cross is that Jesus did something that we need to remember. With his last breath, Jesus begins to pray a prayer. He begins, maybe the pain has gotten to him so much, he begins to pray a prayer that was from a Psalms that he had learned while he sat on his mother's knee. He began to sing a song as his breath left his body. He sang Psalms 31 and 5. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. You see, Jesus had gone from that moment where us humans, we fear death and we think we're going to be all alone, to the moment where he'd gone from, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To that place where he could see the Father reaching down toward him on Calvary. And he realized that his spirit had a place to go. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. My friends, can I tell you, all of us who are human, we have to go by way of Good Friday. Good Friday is the place of pain. It's that place of brokenness and disappointment. It's that place where us humans sometimes feel like God is not listening to our prayers. Jesus would say on Good Friday to us now, don't stop in the middle of the pain. Just keep on praying. Hold on a little while longer. Realize that when you walk through the shadow of death, that God is walking. He's walking with you. So tonight we go to Calvary. Tonight we leave our story at the foot of the cross. Tonight we remember his story. We remember the cost of our salvation. We remember that we've been redeemed. Calvary, 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 surely he died on Calvary. Can't you hear him calling his Father? Can you hear him calling his Father? Surely he died on Calvary. Every time I think about Jesus, every time I think about Jesus, surely he died on Calvary. Calvary, 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 surely he died on Calvary. Into his hands this night, can we offer our spirits and trust that He is here holding us? He's going to take us through this night. He's going to take us through the dark nights of our souls. He's going to take us through every dark moment of our lives. It's just our Calvary. It's just our time. It's just the way of the Savior. May you know the Savior's way this night. And may knowing Him bring you peace in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your pain and your grief. May you too pray the 35th Psalms. Into thy hands, O God, all of us, this night.
Everything is lost, and everything I've loved before is gone. Alone, like the coming of the frost, and a cold winter's chill in my stony heart. You died for us. Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his tomb, which he had carved out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed.